Hey, everybody. Welcome into Redacted on this Monday. I'm Clayton Morris. Natalie is off hanging out with a friend tonight. And so it's just me here. It's just the guys, Philip and David, also running the show behind the scenes. Grim is here as well. So it's a guys' night here on Redacted. And we're going to hang out. We got a lot of news to talk about on this Monday. Holy smokes, it was a busy weekend. But we're going to talk about the war in Ukraine and what this looks like going forward now with major military moves over the past few hours into Ukraine. Russia has launched multiple retaliatory strikes, so we're going to look at that. We're also going to look tonight at a new I guess you could call it a gun department at the Department of Justice trying to go after your guns. You know, the Democrats have long said, no, they're not coming for your guns. They're not coming for your guns at all. They're not going to leave. We're not going to touch your guns. Oh, really? Well, how about we just build an entirely new department at the Department of Justice to go after your guns? That's exactly what's going to happen. Plus, we're going to give you an update on the big Boeing cover-up because some major news today from Boeing. And where are we with the whistleblower who was murdered that was about to testify and provide a lot of information in the Boeing disaster? So what is going on there? We're going to bring you up to date on that. Plus, boy, the BBC... it's a little upset about all of the backlash against their filming of Kate Middleton, and we're going to dive into that tonight as well. So good to see all of you on this Monday. Let us know where you're joining us from. You can dive in here into the chat room and let us know. And let us know of any super chats you have as well tonight. We tried something new today with some of the streaming software because we thought, well, you know, we'll try something different, I guess, with launching the stream instead of going with the 30-minute countdown timer. We thought we're gonna try this out for a little while and see how you guys like it, because normally we would launch this 30-minute countdown timer beforehand so everyone can kind of gather up. But we're wondering how like YouTube and Rumble respond if we just don't do it that way and we just allow like a short little timer and then we start the show. So let us know your thoughts on that in the comments below. Do you like it? I know change is always hard for people. We're going to test that out over the next couple of months. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what do I do with my hands? When I press the buttons here, I don't know what I'm going to do. David didn't know what to do either. He's freaking out over there. So it's good to see everyone.
Hey,
here.
I'm fine.
He's fine. He's always fine. I mean, you see, like, there's a, I don't know if you saw, before we get into the big stories tonight, I mean, this is a big story. The United Nations today votes for a ceasefire in Gaza. And every country raises their hand and says, yes, we vote yes. Yes for a ceasefire. I mean, how can you not vote? It's unbelievable to me. And it must be almost every country. Can you name the one country that didn't vote yes for a ceasefire?
The United States?
Yes, maybe? Very good. And so instead of voting no, she didn't vote no, but she did vote in absentia. She abstained from voting. So there was 14 yes votes, 0 no votes, and 1 abstain, and the United States abstains. It was so embarrassing. But actually, it was the first time I actually heard a round of applause. Everyone applauded after they passed this resolution. And the United States, it's such an embarrassment. It really is such an embarrassment. I mean, just look at the open border, the southern border right now. It's an absolute disgrace what's happening. I mean, how many of you guys saw the El Paso footage this weekend? The military, I mean, couldn't do anything. Just overrun in El Paso. Hundreds of illegal immigrants just pouring through that border crossing there, and they're just overwhelmed, knocked down, pushed down, walked over. And this weekend, we passed $1.2 trillion budget. Guess how much was in there for the border? Do you guys have anybody in the chat room want to guess how much money was in there for the border? What do you guys think? Anybody in the chat room? $350 million? $350 billion?
Yeah, I'm thinking...
$350?
I'm thinking probably like $40-50 million.
$40-50 million? The answer is zero. There is nothing in there for the border. But there's plenty of money in there for Israel, of course. We want to make sure their borders are secure. There's plenty of money in there for other multiple countries in Africa to make sure their borders were secure. But the United States border, zero. Big goose egg. Colonel McGregor is going to join us in a moment to talk about the latest in Ukraine and Russia and what this means for NATO. I always wanted to love to get his perspective because as a former Pentagon advisor to Donald Trump and someone who's one of the clear, most clear-headed voices right now, I mean, he's been spot on at every step of this. What's next for Ukraine? What's next for this massive military strike that Putin unleashed over the past 24 hours? What does it look like going into the spring? I think the ground there is still super muddy, so we'll talk about that with the colonel as well and see what that's going to portend. But first, hey, we have a daily newsletter. I'd love for you to subscribe to it. Go to redacted.inc is the place to go. Put in your email address and you will receive our daily newsletter. It comes to you first thing in the morning. You can drink it. You can read it over your cup of coffee. Be the first drinkable newsletter. You can read it over your cup of coffee. Go to redacted.inc and you'll receive a welcome email from me, clayton@redacted.inc. And then you just need to confirm it. So it might show up in your spam folder, might go to your junk folder, something like that. Just confirm that you want to receive the newsletter. And tomorrow morning, about 7 a.m. Eastern time, you'll receive it in your inbox. We cover some of the markets. We cover some of the stories you missed while you were sleeping. And we usually cover about four or five of the biggest stories of the day that we think are important. The kids say it's the number one newsletter to start their day. And you can read it in like 5 minutes, so in 5 or 10 minutes. Anyway, go to redacted.inc is the place to go. Redacted.inc. Sign up. Well, the attack in Moscow comes at a very bizarre moment. The exact moment, of course, when Congress was just about to vote on a $1.2 trillion budget that very mysteriously had no money for Ukraine in it, but it did have tons of money for Israel and LGBTQ plus causes, as well as cataloging and monitoring cattle in the United States using digital identification, but no money for Ukraine. So all of this comes at a very interesting moment. Just put a pin in that for a moment. We'll talk more about it in a second. Following, of course, the terror attack in Moscow that killed 137 people, including four children, the gloves are now off overnight. Russia's launched a series of major attacks in buildings in downtown Kyiv, hitting Ukrainian security service buildings. That's been confirmed on the Ukrainian side. Russia's also struck energy infrastructure. And according to reports this morning, Poland has activated its air force because of concern over Western Ukraine under heavy bombardment. So are we entering a new phase? And are the gloves off for President Putin? There's been a lot of criticism, of course, of Putin that maybe things have gone a little too slowly on his side. Colonel Douglas McGregor is a former Pentagon advisor to Donald Trump. He's the CEO of Our Country, Our Choice. And in moments like this, there's no one I'd rather turn to make sense of this craziness than Colonel McGregor, whose vast combat experience and Pentagon experience could speak volumes for us. Colonel, great to see you as always.
Sure, good to see you, Morris.
So let's talk about what your initial response is to this. It seems like the West was quick to jump on the idea that this was ISIS, and even other newspapers out of Australia were saying, don't believe anything Putin says. Clearly, this was Putin that launched this attack, just like he blew up his own Nord Stream pipeline. Just like any other attack that happens in Moscow, he's dropping drones on his own residential buildings. So this was Putin. What did you make of the initial response to this and now Putin's response in the immediate aftermath?
Well, understanding the Western commentary and response, and actually the event itself, requires that you understand two key points right now that most people in the West are not getting. The first is that Zelensky and his regime is the equivalent of a fatally wounded animal that is dying. And as a result, it will strike out with whatever it has to the bitter end at this point, rather than essentially surrender, give up, and negotiate. So think of Zelensky's regime as a dying entity. Will grasp at anything he can find. He has no real capability left on the ground. He can barely defend what he's got on the ground. And so he's turning to other forms of action, like this terrorist attack, or the use of more drones against Russian targets in Russia itself. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that NATO is in complete disarray. Behind the scenes, people are panicking. They know the war is lost. That's been clear for a long time now. You'll remember when we talked last year about the NATO summit in Lithuania, in Vilnius, and no one would speak to Zelensky. Zelensky was essentially given the cold shoulder because they viewed him as the individual who'd lied to them about his ability to be successful and defeat the Russians. And in truth, they'd all been lying to themselves from day one. And we, of course, have helped this along by promising the world and delivering nothing. I think the best way to look at it is we promised mountains and delivered a molehill. So the NATO itself is in disarray. All you have to do is look at this man, Macron. Imagine Washington is the leader of NATO. And Macron steps onto the stage and tells everyone, France will fight the Russians in Ukraine, effectively, which, of course, is absurd. He hasn't got more than 7,700 ready French troops that he can send anywhere in the world, let alone Ukraine. He promises 20,000. He's trying to build that up, but it's not likely to get very far. And then he's backed down from those initial statements saying, well, they'll be in a non-combat role. So NATO itself is in disarray. The Germans have disavowed him and said, no, forget it. We will not participate on the ground in Ukraine under any circumstances. And of course, our newest members, the Finns and the Swedes, are falling all over themselves to send thousands of troops to fight in Russia, aren't they? Answer is no. No one is. Macron is entirely alone. And our forces are sitting in Poland and Romania, doing whatever they do while expensive bases are erected there for U.S. comfort. This is a disaster for NATO. So understand everything that's happening right now against those two facts. Zelensky is finished. His regime is dying. NATO is in disarray, has no leadership, and is afraid to admit the obvious that everyone knows privately the war is completely lost. So those two things have to be understood. Now, let's look at the event that occurred itself in Russia. Out of the blue, we have people who are ostensibly Central Asian Muslims, Turkic Muslims. We know of one that was a Tajik. It may be that they're all Tajiks. The Tajiks are a people that live north of Afghanistan. They're unique in Central Asia because they speak a brand of Farsi or Persian, which is kind of unusual. Everyone else speaks what we call Turkic, almost the same thing you hear in Istanbul. So that's kind of interesting. We know that the Ukrainians have recruited many of these people to fight inside the Ukrainian army. We have evidence that some of these people have been part of the Ukrainian army. Out of the blue, these people go into Russia, which sounds impossible, but you have to understand the 1,000-plus miles of border that you cannot possibly protect effectively if you're a Russian right now. So these people get into Russia. They go to an arms cache, which is being prepared for them somewhere. They've obviously had some training. They show up and murder people in Moscow. And then miraculously, they attempt to retreat along exactly the same route they took to get in there from Ukraine. What are we seeing? We're seeing rank amateurism. These people are not professionals. They're thugs who were offered a lot of money to go in and do this. They talked themselves into it. They went in. Most of them are dead or captured. I don't know if anybody got back into Ukraine, but the last thing you do if you're a professional is take the same route out that you took in on the mission. Now, the man that was captured that's gotten most of the attention is, of course, the gentleman who's lost his ear at this point. The Spetsnaz unit that captured him and his friends work for General Kadyrov. They are Chechens. And so they sliced off this man's ear at some point. Whether or not it was already partially injured and they decided to tear it off, who knows? The Russians, of course, were not pleased with this and immediately said, what are you doing to these people? Do not mistreat them, et cetera, et cetera. So then the question was asked, who among you sliced off this man's ear? And the group collectively all stood there and said, I did. In other words, they wouldn't give up the individual. Right. Now, all of this has worked to Putin's advantage in a dramatic way. The Russian people are infuriated. They're angry. They want blood. The emotions in Russia are running very, very high. And there are people in the Duma who are telling Putin publicly and privately, you need to crush Ukraine. You need to end this once and for all. And if anybody gets in your way from the West, the hell with it, we'll just march in there too. Putin is not an emotional actor. He's very rational. He's very thoughtful. He's very deliberate. He's not going to be rushed into this thing. But clearly, once the ground dries out in Ukraine, and that's going to happen towards the end of April, latest beginning of May, I think you're going to see major movements to include crossing the Dnieper River and moving south to take Odessa, and probably movements up north to complete the conquest of Kharkov and perhaps run right up to the river in immediate proximity to Kiev. I wouldn't be surprised, because the pressure is now on to end this thing. We have offered nothing. We refuse to negotiate. We treat the Russians as though they're responsible for this disaster, when in fact we ourselves have brought this on ourselves. You know, this is the hell of our own making. No one wants to take credit for it. I am glad that people on the Hill are now questioning the wisdom of sending any more money over there, because we don't even have any idea how many billions of dollars have simply been stolen and ended up in bank accounts. Remember, Ukraine continues to wallow in the worst sort of corruption. They make Mexico look like an advanced economy. That's how bad it is. So this thing is nearing its end, its final moment. No one is going to take Putin on. We're not going to go to war in Ukraine over this. This is just not going to happen. But we're going to continue to talk. The media is going to continue to lie, with the exception of people like you and Tucker and a few others, and say that Ukraine is winning and the Russians are running out of steam. It's all nonsense. This thing is almost over.
One of a really important piece of this is something that you tweeted or posted on X after this happened. You said, you know, there is little doubt that MI6 and CIA were involved in this. So what's the end game for them, right? Congress is withholding aid money for Ukraine. Ukraine tells Le Monde, Le Monde posts the piece saying, you know, Ukraine is shocked that we're not giving them $60 billion. CIA and MI6 are actively involved in this terror plot inside of Moscow. What is the goal for the intelligence community in Washington, do you think?
Well, the CIA has been a rogue organization for a long time. Some people say it went rogue in the 60s. I can't pinpoint it, but it's clearly a world unto itself. They're going to continue to try and create plans that will allow them to pinprick the Russians whenever the opportunity presents itself. MI6 is deeply embedded with the Ukrainians. The British, ultimately, far more so than we are in terms of advice and support and training. I imagine that these people were given some training by them on the ground before they went in, although I doubt very seriously they expected much more to happen than has. At the end of the day, these institutions are going to continue to plug away, harm Russia, attack Russia, undermine Russia in any way they possibly can, until someone in Washington says stop. Thus far, we've seen no evidence for that. We haven't seen any evidence for leadership of any kind. We just are treated to a barrage of remarks. Oh, we hate Russia. Russia's evil. Russia's bad. They can't win. We'll win. Ukraine will win. It's all nonsense. There's no leadership. No one is in command, to answer your question. That's our big problem in the West right now. There is no strategy. There is no plan, nothing. It's all disjointed, fragmented, and ineffective.
You know, something has stood out to me. I have a couple more questions for you, Colonel, but just the moment here, right? You see Germany lights up all of their buildings. They light up the Brandenburg Gate with different tragedies, the flags of different countries that have been through mass shootings and so forth and tragedies. And the Brandenburg Gate is completely just barren of any lights of Russia, nothing. They're not showing anything. President Putin flew to Ground Zero in New York and wrote on the wall and laid flowers after the 9/11 attacks and offered condolences for what happened. I don't think there's been any response from Washington to Putin offering condolences or the White House sending any sort of anything on that side, right? I mean, have you heard anything from your side that the Biden administration has reached out?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, supposedly we've said that we're displeased by it or horrified in some cases, I'm being told in the State Department, but in reality, no. Frankly speaking, this regime that we are living under with the Biden administration is so ideologically driven that as far as they are concerned, anything that harms Russia is morally justified. Remember that these are globalists. Now, globalism is a strange word, but what it really means is the following. Either you agree with our agenda, everything from LGBTQ, the destruction of the family, the elimination of religion, the enactment of atheism, go through all of this sort of thing. either you agree with us or you're the enemy. And the good guys are the people who live inside what we call the liberal international order, which is all democratic, right, that respects human rights, but locks people up from January the 6th for years without any trial. But we're the good guys. We respect human rights and democracy. Everyone who's not part of the liberal international order is an authoritarian, and hence bad. And Putin is an authoritarian. I can't conceive of anything more authoritarian than the current government we have right now that'll be delighted to put you in jail if you try to protect our borders, that wants to wage war on the governor of Texas and the Texas National Guard to keep the borders open to facilitate the invasion, to bring lots of people like the ones who just committed the atrocity in Moscow into the United States. So this all makes no sense, but in their world, in the bubble that is Washington, some people call it Versailles on the Potomac, they live in this bubble, and they believe that they're right and everyone else is wrong. Well, this isn't going to last. This is doomed. It doesn't matter what happens in November, it's over for them. So they too are much like Zelensky. They're striking out. That's all they know how to do. But there is no strategy. There is no rational calculus at all. If there were, why would anybody leave our borders open at all?
It's incredibly infuriating what's happening at our southern border. And Colonel, when you look at today, you see France raising their terror alert to the highest level. There's concern reports that the United States could be facing similar terror attacks like the one that we just saw in Moscow because of our open border. I mean, reports are upwards of 42 to 45 million illegal aliens in the United States, a majority of which are single men. And what's your concern about the potential for these style attacks in the United States?
I think they've been very highly probable for a long time. First of all, Hezbollah has always had a large chapter in Mexico. So I'm sure there are lots of Hezbollah cells operating all across the United States. There are ISIS types down there as well. There's a huge Chinese embassy with all sorts of connections to the cartels. So, nothing would surprise me at this point. And I think we've got to get ready for it. We don't know when it will happen and how it will happen, but I think it's almost a certainty, not just because of what's happening in Ukraine, but of course, what's happening in Israel. You know, we keep saying that we're providing the Israelis with what they need to defend themselves. Well, the last time I looked, annihilating a population and destroying its homes and driving hundreds of thousands of people to starvation doesn't usually qualify as defense. But that seems to have eluded people in Washington. So I would expect lots of activity here inside the United States. I just don't know when and where, but it's inevitable.
Yeah, I think you're right. Inevitable is the key word. I'll get you out of here on this, Colonel. Obviously, we saw some major attacks over the past 24 hours in Western Ukraine, in Kyiv specifically, also, and on energy infrastructure, SBU buildings targeted. Do you think that the sort of Russian response is going to wait till late April when the ground firms up, as you said, or are we going to see strategic attacks over the next few days and coming weeks?
Well, the missile strikes that you're referring to blackened four major cities in Ukraine, essentially knocked out the power infrastructure and destroyed much of the energy infrastructure. I think we're going to see more of that. Those are preparatory strikes. But you can't move on the ground very far, very fast right now. The ground is muddy, and it doesn't support significant forces moving on the ground. Now, you can send a few people forward on foot, but that's a slow and unrewarding activity, as the Ukrainians have found out. So you've got to prepare things. I think we'll see more attacks on the air defense infrastructure, even though most of it is destroyed at this point. Air and missile defense continues to be a big issue. The Russians want to eliminate it. Once they're confident that they've eliminated those things and the ground is solid, they will move. And I'm sure they will move to the Dnieper, and I think before the end of the summer, Odessa will also be in their hands. The key thing here for us to understand is if foolishly someone intervenes for whatever reason in Western Ukraine, let's assume the Poles are dumb enough to cross the border and go into Lvov, or the Romanians through Moldova do something, the response from the Russians will be an annihilating one. They will spare no method whatsoever to deal with these people. And the other thing is, if we get involved, if we think we're going to support somebody with air power only, we will be declared a co-belligerent by the Russians, along with everybody else in Europe. These people are furious. They've had it. They're angry. Putin is the rational actor in Russia. That's what people don't get. This man's very deliberate. He's holding the horses back. But at some point, he's got to let the reins loose, or he's going to have a population not angry with him, but will just overwhelm the situation and demand action. That's what we don't understand. He's not at risk. We are very much at risk right now.
Actually, I'll get you out of here on this question. This has been bothering me for months, which is the United States has special forces in Ukraine. The French do. The British do. We've heard, of course, from the Russians that if the Americans put forces in Ukraine, this would be a bridge too far, right? This would, as you say, they would be seen as a belligerent army, and they would not hold back anymore. So we already know that we're operating there. Can you explain that that paradox to me?
Sure. Well, you've got light forces that are designed to advise and train and then operate complex equipment. In other words, you've got people sitting at computer terminals linking our satellite-based arrays to the Ukrainian intelligence apparatus. That's the way we're operating. What we don't have on the ground, and what is absolutely intolerable for the Russians, is the presence of combat formations, large units. The 7,700 that the French can deploy to a place like Romania, if they were to cross into Ukraine, that would be seen as an attempt to seize terrain, to hold terrain, and consequently challenge Russia's dominance in its backyard. That will precipitate a war. But small numbers of people there to advise me, and everybody does this. The Russians have done these things. The Chinese have done some of these things. Everybody has at some point. They're not tripwires. It's a modest commitment by international standards. So what people look for are the major formations, the combat units, a core headquarters that is controlling large numbers of forces that suddenly cross the border. That's what the Russians will not tolerate. Now, they've killed large numbers of NATO personnel, including our own. We don't admit to it. We keep it quiet. But they have killed large numbers of us. At some point, I'm sure that truth will come out.
How do families keep that quiet? How do we keep that quiet among American families that American forces have died in Ukraine and we don't hear anything about it in the American media?
Well, I don't know how the Americans do it, but I know how the others do it. And they pay a handsome sum of money to the people who've sustained the loss and told them, you know, under no circumstances do you go public about any of this. You know, certainly not as long as we're engaged over there. But here's this amount of money. We're sorry for your loss. And these are the benefits. And they'll probably hand over some decorations for the individual that the individual never actually saw himself. I mean, this is the kind of thing that goes on. So I don't know what we do in the United States, but I suspect it's probably somewhat similar.
Colonel Douglas McGregor, as always, we appreciate it. Our country, our choice. Can you tell our audience, by the way, it's been a few months since we've reminded our audience what Our Country, Our Choice is all about, because it's not just about talking, it's about taking action. How can people actually take action and take back our government?
Right. Well, Our Country, Our Choice is founded by a group of people that decided it didn't matter who you voted for in the United States, you got the same policy outcomes over and over and over again. So this is an attempt to essentially unite people across party lines and build the foundation for what I would call a third way, and ultimately, at some point in the distant future, a third party. Because we see no future with the two orthodox organizations that are almost indistinguishable from each other, uncomfortably close. We call it the Uniparty on the Hill. And this, at the same time, the people that are joining us, we're trying to recruit people who can go in to government and replace the people in the bureaucracy and in Washington who are running the show. In other words, we want to go in and drain the swamp. Not sort of metaphorically, in reality. Like Andrew Jackson, we believe that any decent, honorable American who loves his country with a modicum of education is better than anyone we have right now in Washington.
Absolutely. The website is ourcountryourchoice.com. You can go there and support the cause, something we believe in wholeheartedly here on Redacted. Colonel, great to see you as always. Thank you for making sense of this craziness.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Good to see you again, Clayton.
Thanks so much, Colonel. Appreciate it. And, you know, we just had this. This is an amazing piece of news just this afternoon. You have that CIA asset, Budanov, who, of course, is the Ukrainian security head. And he just did an interview and was asked about the terrorist attack in Moscow and, you know, smiling, happy about it. So listen to this, and asked to respond, does he want to see more of this, these types of attacks on civilians, because they love attacking civilians. Watch this.
What's your reaction to it, even if you don't claim responsibility?
I'm very glad to see this. Yeah. That's my reaction.
That's your reaction. You're happy to see it
happen. Yeah.
Do you think there'll be more?
I think so.
Inside Russia? Deep inside Russia?
Deeper and deeper.
Deeper and deeper inside Russia. More terrorist attacks coming.
I just wish more people were aware that the civilians of a country aren't the ones that are attacking you.
Right.
It's that easy. They're not the ones doing it.
You know, and of course, Ukraine has been attacking civilians for over a decade in the Donbas. And so what was Eastern Ukraine, no longer Eastern Ukraine. Pretty soon there won't be a Western Ukraine. And of course, these massive attacks that have happened over the past 24 hours, leaving many of these cities in total darkness now, and hitting the intelligence infrastructure, hitting the energy infrastructure, taking out landing strips where these F-16s are supposed to be arriving, and the infrastructure related to the F-16s. Get ready. They can laugh all they want, but shit's about to hit the fan.
It also shocks me when people see like the U.S. Embassy warning. Warning embassies to not go anywhere, right, for 48 hours, and yeah, specifically says concerts in the sentence, that people still think that the U.S. is not somehow involved.
Yeah, how does the State Department, yeah, great point. How does the State Department come out with a warning? Well, was it like a week ago, a week and a half ago now?
It's like 48 hours before it happened.
Yeah, but there was a warning even like about a week and a half ago as well from the State Department. So it's like, America, you know, stay away from concert venues, stay away from large gatherings in Moscow. Be very careful about this. You know. I guess warning
but we
Americans.
We had nothing to do with it.
We had nothing to do with it, of course, right? Sure. To get up pretty early in the morning, if you believe that. Anyway, we've got more news to get to here on your Monday. Good to see all of you. People wondering where Natalie is. She's off tonight. She's got a friend visiting, so she's spending some quality time with a friend for 2 days on a little girls trip. So it's just the guys tonight holding down the fort here. We've got more news. We're going to talk about how they want to take away your guns and the Department of Justice, the Biden administration's new Department of Justice, an entirely new department aimed at taking away your guns, and whom they label as extremist. You know, they're going to take away the guns from people they label as extremists. We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about this Boeing cover-up, new details in that regard, and a major fallout with multiple heads of Boeing being shit-canned today, losing their jobs. So we'll get to that. Plus, yes, we are going to talk about some of the drama in the royal family and what is exactly going on. And by the way, there's now Freedom of Information Act requests of the BBC. The BBC filmed this Kate Middleton interview or this statement? Okay, well, can you tell us, was any AI used at all in this Freedom of Information Act request? Was any voiceover fakery being used on this video? We're going to hopefully get some answers in the next 20 days, they said. The BBC is now responding. They will respond to this within 20 days. 20 days? It takes that long to respond? Okay. So we'll look for that. But first, I'm going to tell you about our friends over at Mack Weldon. I've been wearing Mack Weldon clothes for years. Years. I've loved their t-shirts, their hoodies. And when they said, hey, we love Redacted, we want to sponsor the show, I said, are you kidding me? I've been wearing Mack Weldon stuff for years. Yes, come on over. Guys, their clothing is fantastic, stylish, and comfortable. You don't have to go crazy trying to come up with, you know, super modern, you know, designs and figure out how you're going to look. All on one website, you can go and get fantastic polos and bottoms and everything. They're Oxfords, they're chinos, and it's effortless comfort. If you get a few key pieces in your wardrobe, you'll feel great, you'll look great, and it's dressed up too. It's comfortable but dressy at the same time. So their polos dress up really nice. They're super comfortable. I just got the Ace sweatpants, which are fantastic. I also picked up a new polo, some new t-shirts as well. I love their t-shirts. I've been a huge, probably my favorite t-shirts I've ever worn. Really, really love them. Their boxers are really super comfortable as well. From their light as air underwear to innovative anti-odor t-shirts, they have versatile yet comfortable pants. Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. And you're going to get 20% off your first order if you go to mackweldon.com and check them out. mackweldon.com, get 20% off your first order. I highly recommend checking out, if you want a good sweatpant that's like comfortable but doesn't look like some baggy like MC Hammer pants. They're really comfortable in style. You can like wear them with the kid's soccer game on the weekend, or just you're going out, going shopping, and they don't look like baggy sweatpants. Like, you know, they look really nice and stylish, and they're comfortable as all get out. They have fantastic performance fabric, usually means clothes that look and feel techy or shiny. They don't have that. It's really comfortable and nice and stretchy, and it fits your lifestyle and all of your demands of modern life. So check them out. Go to mackweldon.com. That's mackweldon.com. And use the promo code REDACTED. Get 20% off your first order with our friends over at Mack Weldon. Crazy comfortable. Crazy comfortable Mack Weldon. So our thanks to them for supporting independent journalism and supporting what we do here. And when they reached out and I said, I already wear Mack Weldon stuff. So thank you guys. Thank you for supporting independent journalism. You know, it's interesting if you think about new media versus legacy media. You guys, I mean, Philip and David, and I'd love to hear from you guys in the chat room today too. All of you, the many tens of thousands of you, we got 24,000 of you watching on YouTube right now. How many of you guys are watching on Rumble tonight? I think like, what is it, 20,000 over on Rumble at the moment? 17,000. Okay. So, you know, roughly 35,000-40,000 of you. Think about how many people that is watching independent media right now. And then we've got a couple thousand of you watching on X simultaneously with us. So 40,000 of you, let's just say, watching us right now. Just think about like how many people in a concert hall that would be. Just think about that, right? It would sell out many concert halls. Think about legacy media collapsing right now. The Wall Street Journal numbers are in the toilet. I saw Elon Musk tweet today about the declining readership of the New York Times. The Wall Street Journal is in the toilet. No one's watching CNN anymore. No one's watching legacy media anymore. And now you have this like battle right now between, I mean, new media and legacy media, and the idea, what is truly independent media these days? You saw what happened with Candace Owens, right? So Candace Owens gets fired for speaking out against Israel. She gets fired from the Daily Wire. And what is it, you know, so we're in this weird era now where you've got like new media, which was supposed to be the alternative to like CNN and Fox News and MSNBC. And now you have like someone like Candace Owens getting fired from there. It's like, well, then they're not independent. They're not an independent voice.
Did you see Don Lemon's attempt to get into independent journalism with his new Twitter show? That everybody is just completely tearing him apart because he's trying to bring legacy media to independent media, and it did not work.
He's like, I've got an idea for a show. I'm going to bring CNN over to X. So how do you guys want? No one was watching CNN. Do you guys want to not watch it now on X? Don Lemon? And the demands that apparently he was making to get his show. I mean, he wanted a cyber truck as part of his contract with X and all this craziness. He wanted to go to space. He wanted to be like launched into space, according
to
reports.
Policy decisions, like nothing gets changed without his approval.
So on the platform. So I think we're having this interesting moment right now, you know, new media. And now what is truly independent media? Like, I like to think of our show as truly independent, right? However, as an analyst, about this, you still have to deal with like the big tech censorship, right? So it would there are times when we cover stories, when we cover them on YouTube, but we can't cover them, and we have to just go to Rumble because YouTube will censor us. So we still have to, like, deal with the big tech gods in a lot of ways. Like, what is truly independent anymore? I don't know exactly, but it's when you see what happened with Candace Owens this weekend, you realize, like, well, new media, a lot of the new media outlets that were sort of born out of legacy media, like the Daily Wires of the world, I mean, they're not really independent, are they? I mean, this is just an extension of legacy media. Am I wrong? I don't know. Let me know what your thoughts on that.
I think some of it probably just has to do with, like, trying to emulate, like, they don't know who to emulate. And so they're like, oh, well, we're really making it if we look like CNN, or if we act like CNN. And so then they lose that independent streak so that they can emulate what they think of as being success. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, and it just shows you, you know, like, people thirst for at least truth seekers. Like, you might not always get it right. You might not always be telling the truth because you're just getting the information as it comes. But the mainstream media has no desire to get to the truth. They're just reading what they're told to read, period. And this shows you that with the popularity of independent media now, with, like, Bongino and stuff getting hundreds of thousands of viewers on a live show that these mainstream media shows aren't even doing, with us at 40,000, I mean, that tells you people want the truth. I always felt like if any mainstream channel would have become more about truth, they would have been the most popular channel on TV, but none of them do it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's our goal here on this show, and we don't censor anybody. We don't censor anybody's voices when we have them on the show, and we don't have other shows on this platform. So we don't have like a Candace Owens, right? So we don't have any other, you know, shows really. So, but if we did, we wouldn't tell like a Candace Owens, like, what to say, you know, then how is that independent media? Like, you're censoring a person and then you're firing that person.
Yeah. I mean, not once have you ever, like, even suggested that I should have a different take on something. Not once. Like, yeah. I don't think, Dave, you know, it's like, that's just never been the style around here.
Yeah. No, I mean, no, that's just not, or we have correspondents on the show and we let them say whatever they're going to say. You know, we don't ever censor anybody's voices on this show. We get censored. We get censored a lot. And we get banned. We've been banned by YouTube now 4 or 5 times. But we speak our minds here on this show. I don't feel like we have to, you know, we have to maybe watch a few of our words. Otherwise, we'll get censored. You know, there was a time, obviously, during COVID where we couldn't say things like ivermectin. If we even said the word, our show would be, like, blocked, which was crazy. And we've got a staff of people here, so we have someone to keep our show on the air. So we'd have to, like, say code words like that medicine that sounds like schmectin, you know, and things like that. But anyway, I just think it's an interesting, we're entering into an interesting time right now, this idea between legacy media and new media, and then what is truly independent media. And I think you're going to see a lot more discussions about that in the coming months. But all right, let's talk about guns, shall we? Well, Joe Biden has long told us, no, we don't want to take your guns away. We're not going to take your guns away. I'm not that kind of president. But that's, of course, a bald-faced lie. Yes, they do want to take your guns away. In fact, the Justice Department just announced a sweeping new program called ERPO. ERPO. Sounds like a hall monitor. Oh, there's ERPO again, telling you what to do. ERPO will let them label anyone they want as an extremist. So if you're labeled as an extremist by ERPO, then they will take your guns away and they will allow family members to report one another so that they can come and take those guns away as well. This is through something called the ERPO laws. So it's our National Extreme Risk Protection Order is what it's called, and their resource center. And it sounds like it's a ton, because it actually is. It's a bunch of garbage, actually. So here's their National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. A tool to save lives. A tool to save lives. It gives them the power to train, assist, and advise on laws for pretty much every government and non-government agency in the name of keeping guns out of the hands of people who pose a threat to themselves or others. It's not just about preventing gun ownership through background checks. It's also about removing existing guns from people who they label extremist. And here's where it shows that it's not just about purchasing guns. It's also about possessing guns, meaning they'll take them away from anyone labeled an extremist. That they can't purchase or possess firearms for the duration of the order. What does that mean?
Yeah, can we pretty please define extremist in this before we start enacting this? I would really like a concrete definition of what extremist is.
Well, if you're under the Biden administration, right, everyone today is labeled an extremist. So everyone these days, you oppose sex changes for minors, you're an extremist. You're against Planet Fitness allowing dudes to go into the women's locker rooms. You're an extremist. How dare you want to have same sex or single sex spaces? You're an extremist. You're a white person who thinks you're not a racist. You're an extremist. I'm a white person. I don't think I'm racist.
You're an extremist and a racist if you don't support what Israel is doing. You're an anti-Semitic.
Yeah, you're anti-Semite, I guess. You're an extremist. Like if you just don't want people to die, like then you're an anti-Semite. Okay, thanks. You're a moron is what you are. I'll be an extremist. You're a moron. And you're a lover of genocide. How about that? I'll be the extremist. You're the lover of genocide then. Fine. You don't want to give illegal immigrants cash gift cards. You're an extremist. And also, you're a xenophobe. You are against millions of undocumented illegal aliens coming into the United States, taking our jobs, getting $10,000 gift cards and cell phones. You're an extremist.
Given homes and places to stay and food before our homeless vets and other homeless people that are Americans that are on the street right now.
Yeah, you're an extremist. Therefore, my point is anyone can be labeled an extremist, and you can see how this gun removal program then can be divided along party lines. Here was President Biden in early in his presidency, of course, talking about MAGA Republicans are extremists.
And there's something dangerous happening in America now. There's an extremist movement that does not share the basic beliefs in our democracy. The MAGA movement. Not every Republican, not even a majority of Republicans adhere to the MAGA extremist ideology. I know because I've been able to work with Republicans my whole career. But there's no question that today's Republican Party is driven and intimidated by MAGA Republican extremists. This MAGA threat is a threat to the brick and mortar of our democratic institutions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're an extremist. So no guns for you. As someone in our chat room just said, Nkur says, yeah, you don't support killing millions of babies? You're an extremist. No guns for you. So it lets the Justice Department decide who is an extreme risk and then communicate that to law enforcement officials, prosecutors, attorneys, judges, clinicians, victim service and social service providers, community organizations, and behavioral health professionals. We've identified some extremists. Here you are. You're on some sort of a database now. You're on the ERPO database. It also allows family members to report ERPO concerns. It allows family members to report ERPO concerns if they think a member of their household should not have a gun. This is like 1984 family reporting. Like George Orwell would have been happy. Seriously, in the book, the main character finds his neighbor thrown in jail for thought crime, for yelling down with Big Brother in his sleep. And then when he admits his daughter turned him in, he's happy about it. He says, who turned you in? Quote, it was my little daughter, said Parsons with a sort of doleful pride. She listened at the keyhole, heard what I was saying, and nipped off to the patrols the very next day. Pretty smart for a nipper of 7 years old, eh? I don't bear her for any grudge for it. In fact, I'm proud of her. It shows I brought her up in the right spirit anyway. It reminds me of, do you remember we covered this a couple of months ago? But of course, the Dia app that they rolled out in Ukraine, the Dia app. And it was it's basically the digital infrastructure app that the United States was funding through the USAID program, of course, and to funnel billions of dollars into this monitoring everything that happens into Ukraine. It's a test bed for this, right? So Ukraine was the test bed. And of course, in the DIA app allowed you to report your neighbors. It's exactly what they want. And that's what they want to do in the United States. So remember, the gestational process of this was born out of this USAID program and the DIA app in Ukraine. And now they want to bring it here, and they, of course, want to monitor everything we're doing in the United States. Rat on your family members and rat on your neighbors. Oh, and I'm sure they'll roll out an app for it, just like the DIA app in Ukraine. Representative Thomas Massie calls it a federal red flag center. What the hell is this evil? Thomas Massie writes, a federal red flag center. We did not authorize this. Announced, of course, just hours after the omnibus bill passes. Justice Department launches the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. How is this possible? Right? They didn't authorize this, but now we just have a new Justice Department center where you can report people as extremists? How is this allowed in the United States? We are losing our country in real time.
It's just the modern version of if you see something, say something. Remember that?
Yeah, but I
posted all over the airports and all that stuff.
But that I'd be okay with, right? If you see something, if you see a package that's laying there and you hear ticking in it, like maybe you go up to the security and be like, hey, there's a box laying there, right? Or
well, yeah, but it carried over to all other kinds of things. So like, for instance, like if somebody paid cash at a hotel, that was a red flag. So they had different things that like didn't seem right and out of the ordinary, not just bags and stuff, that you were to report it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing I think that seems to be missing from this is the word violent, that it's not, they're not going after violent people. Like, cause I mean, you know, like you look at domestic abuse situations where they should go in and confiscate the guns because that demonstrably saves lives. But this is just like extremist is such a squishy term. It's not easily defined. And because they're not adding violent in there, because violent, maybe, you know, maybe if somebody is like threatening somebody's life, take away their guns. But in the case, they're just saying extremist, that's a political ideology. And they're basically saying there are certain political ideologies they will not allow to be armed.
Right.
And that's, I think to me, that's the problem.
Oddly enough, this was announced, again, just after Thomas Massie said that, after the spending package was announced, which also cut the FBI budget by $650 million. And it cuts its construction account by 95%. And yet the FBI just gave itself sweeping new powers. But it cut its budget massively? Interesting. So how do you square that? I don't understand that. Does this make you a bigger part of the FBI now? Like, we're going to cut staff, we're going to cut resources, but now, guess what? We're just employing average citizens to become snitchers and just to report family members. So now we can cut our own budget because now you're going to do the job for them. We're going to turn this, you know, 1984 United States. Meanwhile, in Florida, law enforcement must have not gotten the memo. They're saying that guns are still A-OK. And you can still protect your property with them. I love this. This was in 2022, so you can imagine the Justice Department will have some words with this guy in 2024. Listen.
As to the person, we don't know which homeowner shot at him. I guess they think that they did something wrong, which they did not. If somebody's breaking in your house, you're more than welcome to shoot them in Santa Rosa County. We prefer that you do, actually. So whoever that was, you're not in trouble. Come see us. We have a gun safety class we put on every other Saturday, and if you take that, you'll shoot a lot better, and hopefully you'll save the taxpayers money.
So here in Florida, yeah, just shoot them. You know what? It'll save us all the extra work, the hassle of the paperwork and everything. We don't have to fill out that paperwork, you know? So just if you got someone breaking into your home, don't call us. Just shoot them and kill them, okay? And don't worry, you'll be okay. We're not gonna come arrest you later. Florida. So I find this utterly disturbing, and how this gets pushed onto the American people. It seems this level of the surveillance state is real, as we've talked with Kyle Serafin, former member of the FBI. The surveillance using, you know, illegal foreign surveillance on the FISA warrants, skirting around those laws in order to monitor and just get, you know, any kind of wiretaps and searches they want on Americans. And now this. Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. We've got more news to get to here on your Monday. We're going to talk about the Boeing cover-up. We got some major drama in Boeing today. Pretty crazy. We're going to tell you about that. We're also going to look at this Kate Middleton update and show you some new video and have a discussion about that. But first, are interest rates going up instead of down? Are they going down instead of up? Who knows? The Fed is in a real bind. They just admitted this week, the Fed did, Jerome Powell just admitted, that, you know what, inflation is kind of here to stay. We're kind of done trying to fight it right now, and it's going to be sticky for quite a while. So, you know, all your price of groceries and all that? Yeah, that's going to be here for a while. And you know what, the U.S. gross domestic product in 2024, that's looking pretty good, you know? We're doing pretty well, as American economists say, and it's continued to be strong. So we're in this really weird moment right now. And, of course, you saw what happened with Apple last week, the Department of Justice coming after Apple, saying it's a monopoly. You know what? All of that is available as news updates and alerts inside of your Moomoo app. That's right. If you subscribe and get your Moomoo app, you get 15 free stocks when you sign up. And when you have that cash that's just parked in your account, you get 8.1% APY for a limited time right now. No minimum deposit threshold when you sign up. And you put in your money, and it's good to go. You can keep it in there and not invest it in anything if you don't want to. You can use it as a savings account. You can get 8.1%. 8.1%. You get 5.1% base rate, and now for 3 months, they're giving you an extra 3% just for opening the account and putting your unused cash right there, and you can earn that great interest rate. And if you want to invest it, you can. You can invest in anything you want. It's a great trading platform. It's based in Silicon Valley. And I consider it one of the best stock trading apps. You can trade stocks, you can trade options, U.S. bonds, ETFs, and it's one of the most cost-effective platforms that I know of. No commissions, no hidden fees, and now Moomoo is operating in 7 countries, including the U.S., Canada, Singapore, Australia, and more. The best thing is now that U.S. residents will have the chance to get those 15 free stocks when they sign up, as well as that cash sweep of 8.1% APY for a limited time. No minimum deposit. In addition, Australian investors also are able to receive up to $6,600 in amazing benefits, including 10 free stocks and a 6.8% APY high cash yield account. So go check it out today. Right now, go to redacted.inc/moomoo and you get those 15 free stocks. Plus, you get that incredible savings rate for your parked cash in that account. redacted.inc/moomoo today. That's where you can go. So check them out. So our thanks to Moomoo. Let us know where you're joining us from tonight here on the show. Looking to see Zimbabwe is in the house. Jonathan Skinner from Zimbabwe says, Zimbabwe via Ireland. Love Redacted. Thank you guys so much. Naf Vol says, what happened to fake farm protest? What happened to fake farm protest? I don't know what was there, a fake farm protest? Where's there a fake farm protest? I don't know about that. Where was that? Let's see. Hi from England, Dirty D says. Hello, good to see you. Derek Morris in Pennsylvania, fellow Pennsylvanian in the house. Nice to see you. JJ in his Australia. Ian Fergie is in Scotland. We got someone from Hawaii. Scotty C from Hawaii. Nice to see you. Clifford Jorgensen from Florida. Paul D'Souza says, please raise your volume in Guyana. But our volume is, you got to turn your volume up because our volume levels are good, right, David? Like our levels are good. So we've got nearly 40,000 of you watching around the world right now. Our volume is good. We check our levels. So if you're not hearing us well, you've got to turn your volume up, okay? Just don't annoy the neighbors with it. Actually, please do annoy your neighbors with it. We'd appreciate it. Richard Hawley in Utah. Nice to see you, Richard. Good to see all of you guys tonight. Appreciate it. All right, let's talk about this. Well, something big is happening at Boeing. What exactly are they hiding? And will anyone investigate it? They're hoping that you're too busy paying attention to what's going on in Moscow, what's going on with President Trump, and his, you know, having to come up with his bond money, et cetera. They're really hoping that you won't be paying attention to this. This morning we learned that Boeing's CEO has essentially been fired. They want to call it, like, you know, you can call it being pushed out. I call it being fired. I know what the corporate speak is all about. So Dave Calhoun is going to step down, right? AKA he's fired. You want to call it other things? You can call it other things. And of course, this all follows all of the safety concerns following the Alaska Airlines blowout of the wall, the door that blew out. And CNN actually called it a complete decapitation. Three of the top-level executives, including this guy, Dave Calhoun, and chairman of the board, Larry Kellner, is also done. He'll be done in May. And Stan Deal, president of Boeing, is effective immediately, gone. Three of them. This was a huge sudden shock to Boeing. Like, what is going on here? One of the great American companies. What has happened to this company that has gone woke, is, under safety concerns because of moving towards ESG standards? All of this garbage. Just before the weekend, of course, the latest Boeing accident occurred. Watch this.
Meanwhile, there are new problems plaguing Boeing this morning. So-called braking anomaly is now under investigation as airline executives demand a meeting with the company's board of directors. ABC's Rhiannon Alley has that story.
This morning, safety standards at Boeing once again under scrutiny after investigators say the brakes failed on an American Airlines flight in Dallas.
There have been some problems down with the landing pattern process. The pilots realized they had no brakes after landing, forcing them to use thrust reversers to slow down, causing the Boeing 737 to roll off the runway.
Off the runway. So that's the latest. I mean, the list is long right now. How many stinking accidents there have been. And now we know that passengers right now are skipping flights in order to avoid taking Boeing airplanes. So we talked about this. You can go into different apps like Kayak and so forth and choose which airlines you want to fly. So as you're choosing your flights, you can choose, do I want to be on a Boeing flight? No, you can choose to select, no, I don't want to be on that flight. I don't want to choose this particular aircraft anymore. All of this, of course, comes on the heels of a Boeing whistleblower who was in the process of testifying about these problems at Boeing when he was murdered in his car. No one believes he committed suicide. You'd have to be a moron to believe that. And he even told loved ones that he, if he winds up dead, that he didn't commit suicide.
I know that he did not commit suicide. There's no way.
First tonight, our investigative reporter Ann Emerson has new information in the death of Boeing whistleblower John Barnett. A close family friend of Barnett says he predicted he might wind up dead, that a story could surface that he killed himself. But he told her, don't believe it. Ann?
Tessa, Barnett's family friend Jennifer said they had talked about this exact scenario playing out. But his words seemed like a premonition. He told her, don't ever believe it.
I knew John because his mom and my mom are best friends. And so over the years, get-togethers, birthdays, celebrations, and, you know, whatnot, we've all got together and talked. And, you know, that's how we really know each other.
And when Jennifer needed help one day, Barnett came by to see her. They talked about his upcoming depositions in Charleston. Jennifer knew he filed an extremely damaging complaint against Boeing. He says the aerospace giant retaliated against him when he blew the whistle on unsafe practices. For more than 30 years, Barnett was a quality manager. He'd recently retired and moved back to look after his mom in Louisiana.
He wasn't concerned about safety because I asked him, I said, aren't you scared? And he said, and his voice and his, the way he would talk, no, I ain't scared. He said, but if anything happens to me, it's not suicide. You know, I know that he did not commit suicide. There's no way. He loved life too much. He loved his family too much. He loved his brothers too much to put them through what they're going through right now.
So many people of you in the chat room saying there's no way that he committed suicide. No way. How many of you think he committed suicide?
100% not.
Yeah, 100% not, exactly. So many people said he was Clinton'd, he was Epstein'd. Isn't it sad that those are the terms we come up with? They're Clinton and Epstein'd. And a newly revealed performance review explains why his bosses had a problem with him. He was, I love this, basically overly knowledgeable. Here's his performance review. In Barnett's, or this is a piece of the case file. In Barnett's July 2014, under the heading Interim Manager Comments, senior quality manager stated that John is very knowledgeable, almost to a fault. as it gets in the way at times when issues arise. John likes to be right, and at times re-challenges issues that appear to be resolved at a round table. Okay, so when he sees a problem that was covered up at Boeing, and he's told it's been fixed, and then he sees it's not fixed, he raises concerns about it, and that's a problem for Boeing. He's too knowledgeable. Like, can you imagine that as part of your performance review? John's like, I know they say that these things are fixed, and I'm telling you that it's not. And, well, his bosses have a problem with that. You're a little too good at your job, John.
I mean, like, in all honesty, like, if like, by their standards, like, they could have, like, a cleaning contractor that comes in after to clean up the shop, and they would be overly knowledgeable because they could look and go, hey, that thing fell off that plane while it was flying. I don't think that's supposed to do that. That's just overly knowledgeable. Like, no, we fixed that. That's not happening. Parts aren't flying off of our planes. Like, anybody can see that there's problems.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
We're all
too overly knowledgeable.
Apparently, and they wanted you to be quiet about it, or they wanted John to be quiet about it. So when he sees these problems, he's told, John, they're fixed. Just stop worrying about it. Just move on. We know you like to be overly knowledgeable about this. Kevin Gostola, who's been a frequent guest on our show here, a great journalist, says Boeing whistleblower John Barnett, who was found dead under incredibly suspicious circumstances, apparently upset Boeing's lawyers because he could recite details of incidents from a decade ago and specific dates without looking at documents. Like, he has a photographic memory and he knows shit isn't right and he's calling attention to it. And that upsets his bosses. It upset Boeing's lawyers because he knew the details, and these lawyers were like trying to trip him up. An Al Jazeera reporter, of course, we showed you this, armed himself with a hidden camera, visited the Boeing plant in South Carolina. He visited the apartment where the B-787 Dreamliners were assembled, and the journalist asked the employees there whether they were ready to fly on airplanes they were assembling themselves, and they said, absolutely not, I'm not flying on these things.
This is a Boeing factory in the U.S. state of South Carolina. Workers here in Charleston are assembling the company's flagship product, the 787 Dreamliner. But this footage reveals some have little faith in the plane they build.
Did you fly on one?
No.
You won't fly on one.
Yeah, I wouldn't fly on one. Amazingly, of the 15 workers that they asked who were building the planes, 10 of them said they were not ready to fly, even though these craft are considered finished. They're basically admitting they're not finished.
Because I see the quality going down around here.
An employee captured the footage after contacting Al Jazeera to tell us he had serious concerns about what he was seeing. At his request, we changed his voice.
With all the problems reported on the 787, there's 90% that's getting swept away, hushed up. It's an iceberg.
So if that's not enough, here's a list of recent accidents from this year. If you want to go back to the sort of beginning, I mean, there's close to 6,000 people have died now as a result. But just this year alone, let's just talk about January. Alaska Airlines, the Boeing 737 MAX 7 had to make that emergency landing in Portland because of that fuselage blew out of the plane. January 14th, the Boeing plane had to turn around and land in Japan after a crack was found in the cockpit window. February 21st, we had Boeing 757 in San Francisco had to land in Denver due to wind damage. Boeing officials said the plane had to land due to an addressed issue with a slat on one of its wings that broke off. March 7th, flight from San Francisco to Japan had to make an emergency landing after a tire fell off the plane. That video, you know, that was captured on video, of course. And then March 8th, United Airlines flight went off the taxiway at the airport in Houston. No injuries there. Plane landed on its side. 50 people were hurt just a few weeks ago when it was flying from Australia to New Zealand. And this was amazing when it said a plane was initially described as strong movement. What a strong movement. David had a strong movement this morning after breakfast.
While reading the newsletter, I might add.
Yeah, and how about you didn't hurt 50 people with your strong movement? And then we had, what else was? Oh, an undisclosed maintenance issue on March 12th that had a flight from San Francisco to Sydney. Had to go back and land. Then on March 15th, plane landed in Medford, Oregon, where it was discovered that a panel from the wing was missing. Again, this is all 2024. This isn't going back in history here. And the panel fell off mid-flight. But I guess John was too knowledgeable about the problems at Boeing. An Alaska Airlines flight landed and cracked its windshield in Portland on March 18th. A lot of windshields cracking on these flights, too. That's definitely something you want at 35,000 feet, a cracked windshield. So three major executives now pushed out of Boeing over the past 24 hours. The CEO, the president, top board member, gone. Bloodbath. So will we learn anything about this? And I guess, too, I want to know more about John Barnett's murder. Are we going to hear anything more about this? Are investigators going to look more deeply into it? They find it with his hand holding a gun, really a finger on the trigger. Sure. Telling family members and friends that if you find me that I'm dead, I didn't kill myself. That's not suicide. Will we ever get to the bottom of this? Who knows? Maybe we need a congressional investigation because other airlines have now flown in and asked and demanded answers from Boeing because they're flying these passengers. They're buying these aircraft and all of these. And passengers are saying, I don't want to fly Boeing anymore. How many of you in the chat room are fine to fly a Boeing plane right now?
I actually was supposed to go to Idaho and I chose to drive 6 hours rather than fly because I just don't want to fly right now.
But was it a Boeing flight or was that your only choice, a Boeing flight?
Yeah, most of the flights out of Portland are Boeing.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of these problems are happening out of Portland or landing in Portland or San Francisco right now. So, yeah, let us know in the comments below what you think about that. We've got more news to get to. In just a minute, we're going to talk about this Kate Middleton story, which I find utterly fascinating. And over the weekend, we've got some new developments on that. Freedom of Information Act requests now coming forward to find out and get to the bottom of that from the BBC, which filmed this whole thing with Kate sitting in a garden with no flowers moving, no trees rustling. So we'll talk about that. But first, I mean, the Fed last week, Jerome Powell last week, shows that his hands are tied right now, throwing up his hands, sort of admitting defeat. Inflation's going to be here for a while. I'd love to hear from you guys in the chat room right now. Like, how much are you paying? Are you paying extra for rent? Are you paying extra for groceries? How much is like a typical night out that maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, well, the price was compared to today? Do you guys have any, maybe anecdotal experiences that you'd like to share? Drop it in the chat room. I'd love to hear from you on that because Jerome Powell admitted, you know what, we're fine with inflation where it's at and it's probably going to get higher. It may go to 3%, 4%, 5%, 7%, and that's the way it's got to be. You know, it's an election year. Got to support my man Biden. Got to keep these interest rates down, so we're going to slash interest rates 3 times this year. That's the plan on the part of Jerome Powell and the Fed. The unelected Federal Reserve chief, by the way, that runs and dictates everything. But inflation's going to remain hot because we were too lazy to keep, we kept interest rates artificially low for so long. All of this free printing of money. And now inflation is out of control and it's crushing average Americans right now. And the rich just get richer. Wall Street's making money, doing its thing. That's why it's more important than ever right now to make sure you've got something of your money not tied to the U.S. dollar as it continues to lose value. We're such big proponents of having some money in precious metals like gold and silver, and our friends over at Lear Capital can help you get set up where you can have gold coins, gold bars sent right to your home. You can keep them in your gun safe. You can have them stored off-site at a secure facility. It's totally up to you, however you want to do it. A lot of people like to keep it in their home, in their gun safe. You can do that. Again, stored offsite, it's totally up to you. Silver is really cheap right now. It's about half of its all-time high, which is in the $40 range. Now it's right in the $20 range. And silver is, compared to gold just hit a new all-time high. And the price targets for gold now are like over $3,000. According to Bank of America, they have an over $3,000 price target for an ounce of gold right now. That's because, and that's why a lot of these central banks are buying up as much gold as they can, China buying up as much gold as they can. Anyway, I just think it's important to not have your money tied to the US dollar. And if you can, if you've got like a few thousand dollars sitting in some crappy savings account somewhere as like a rainy day fund, well, that is losing value every day thanks to inflation. So like Natalie and I do, we take some of that money and we put it into precious metals as wealth preservation, basically. And great that it goes up in value. I'm thrilled that it's now at an all-time high. That's great. But that's not why I do it. I do it because the US dollar is a fraudulent, you know, it's fraudulent. It's a fake currency and it's just artificially printed out of nothing. So I don't want my family's future, kids' college fund, anything like that tied to the US dollar. So anyway, our friends at Lear Capital can help you get set up. Call their 800 number. They love talking to our viewers. They're American patriots. These guys are fantastic. 1-800-613-3557. Just have a conversation with them. See if it's a fit for you. If you've got a few hundred dollars in your savings account, you want to convert it over to gold or silver, give them a call. Go to the website LearRedacted.com. And you can receive up to $15,000 in free bonus metals with a qualified purchase. So check out our friends over at Lear. They support what we do here. They are patriots. They support independent journalism. And they think the corrupt Biden administration is going to drive us down the drain. These guys are fantastic. So our thanks to them for supporting our show. All right.
I'm excited about this next story because we get to find out when the person that's actually done the homework and is super knowledgeable isn't there. We get to find out if like the three dudes that didn't really study for the test can still pass. Right. I'm excited for this because I still wouldn't recognize Kate Middleton if she was sitting next to me.
So it's so funny because I think people in the live show, they're like, okay, well, yeah, I don't care about Kate Middleton. I care about the lies and the cover up from the mainstream media. That's the part of what you don't understand. I don't care about the royal family at all, at all. In fact, today, Natalie sent me a text about something with like Prince Andrew and whatever. And I guess his wife, or I don't even know who she is, honestly, is going to like be moving to another country to get away from all the drama. And they're like, that's the daughter of Fergie. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know who that is. Anyway.
Yeah, that's my worries. Like, cause like, and now anytime a name comes up in our group chat, I don't know if it's a royal or not, because I had never even heard of Kate Middleton until last week when Natalie started covering it. So like anytime a different name comes up, I don't recognize. I'm like, is that one of the royals? Who is that? Is that a prince or a princess or
I know.
Is that the king? I don't know.
But I said in the chat room, you know, I guess we did a poll, like how many of you care? So I get it. And the question is like, and someone's even saying here, like, Steph Chills says, I love Redacted, but kind of confused on why you polled about the interest in Kate Middleton, got a 2% interest, if I remember correctly, and you still cover her. I don't know that poll. I don't know what you're talking about, but, yeah, I really don't care. I don't care about Kate Middleton. I hope she's healthy. I don't wish ill on anybody. But that's not why we're covering the story. We're covering the story because of the media cover up and the UK government, which is absolutely corrupt, and the lies. So what's really going on here? And there's a bigger, deeper story at play that is not about Kate Middleton. Something bigger is going on here. And the lies the mainstream media are telling us right now. So Kate Middleton, we are not done here. Not yet. The British monarchy released a video of Kate Middleton admitting that she's being treated for cancer. But there are still so many questions from people who don't buy it, of course. So this video, of course, came out just before the weekend. Clearly, Natalie's not here right now. So we don't care to watch Kate Middleton out of a palace intrigue or to see what she's wearing. I don't really care about that. We care because we can see that the palace and the media are clearly lying to us, and we want to know why. So this is a message from Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales, and you can see her. I'll just play a few seconds of it and we'll talk about it here. But this was her message here. And just watch the background, watch her hands, watch her hair, watch her shirt, all of that. This was her message.
I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you personally for all the wonderful messages of support and for your understanding whilst I've been recovering from surgery. It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family, but I've had a fantastic medical team who have taken great care of me, for which I'm so grateful.
So, okay. So the first thing that people say is that what you're watching here is AI, which we'll discuss this in a minute. This is artificial intelligence at play here. But even if it's legitimate, it does not explain all of the lies. So forget this video for a second. First off, who was this that we were told was her? Okay, we were told that this was her, right? On the left, we were told that that was her. And on the right, we were told that this was her with William at a farmer's market. Who are these people? If you put these photos next to the woman who made the video this weekend, it still does not add up. That's not the same person. That's clearly not the same person. And even though the palace never said those women were Kate Middleton, they were shown with her mother and her husband. Right? So they're with Prince William shopping? Who is this woman? Okay, and she's in a car. Like, what's going on here? But these people are like made to look like her? And the media ran with it. See, here she is. They were just shopping this weekend. Everything's fine. Ignore it. So do her husband and mother just have stand-ins that are available at a moment's notice for their beloved Kate so they can hang out with them? Like, oh, my real Kate isn't here this weekend, so I've got the doppelganger I can just hang out with. It also doesn't...
Well, the one thing I noticed on that video, if you play it again and look at it, there is absolutely zero movement of any flower, any leaf, any blade of grass. Nothing moves in that background, which is very, I mean, even like if you're outside, there's going to be some movement, right? I did just see a fly in front of her though, but like that was what made me question it. Like I see no movement.
Yeah, I mean, of course, analysts have dove into this. We're going to dive into more and more deeply here in a second, but I agree with you. I mean, nothing's moving. I don't know that I've ever been outside when it's like that calm, that peaceful. I don't know. So it does not explain why the palace never released the unedited version of the Mother's Day photo that started all of this. Like this original photo that went out that started this entire garbage. And now we know that this was altered. You can see the disclaimer at the bottom. It's an altered photo. And it was made its rounds all over the news, right? So when people pointed out that their outfits were similar to a public outing in November, they blamed it on bad photoshopping on the princess and never released the unedited version of the photo. Show us the unedited version of the photo then. Because the story we got was that Kate was at home on Photoshop and she, like other moms, likes to Photoshop some stuff. That's the story we got. Really? She just got like abdominal surgery for cancer and she's there Photoshopping things on a Mother's Day photo? Like something doesn't add up. And by the way, where's William in the photos? Okay. So again, the lies here. And if she's been sick all along, why did they lie that she didn't have cancer? Kensington Palace confirms princess does not have cancer. Okay. So then they're lying again. And if the BBC made this video 2 weeks ago, why did the press say that the woman who went to the happily, you know, farm shopping last weekend was happy and healthy? Here's Kate outdoors. Here's Kate outdoors, happy and healthy. See, she's fine. Princess Kate spotted out and about for the first time. Oh, okay, so that's not Kate at all, but you're telling us it is. You're lying to us. Again. So is this video of her cancer explanation AI? Undetermined. A few problems, though, that people could see explained by the low resolution. But why do they film it with such low resolution? You know, we have 4K, and we're led to believe the BBC filmed this, and they filmed it with like 1990s film quality, right? 240p or something. They used like a Game Boy. Remember the Game Boy camera? You could get a camera that attached to your Game Boy back in the 1980s. Maybe that's what they used. A few problems that people see could be explained with this low resolution, so I just don't understand why they filmed it with this low resolution. Many have fixated on her wedding ring, which is the ring that once belonged to Princess Diana. It does appear to disappear at one frame. Watch this. So it disappears in a few frames. Now, again, it could just be the low resolution. Also, her nostrils are a bit uneven, some say. And this sweater is a sweater that we've seen her wear before in similar settings with a similar hairstyle, a similar blowout when she was outdoors in the spring wearing the same exact sweater. And take a look at this. This made its rounds.
Mental health is just as important as physical health.
Yeah. So there she is outside wearing it. AI generators do not agree on whether or not the video is AI generated. Deepware detector shows that it's not AI, but image searches show the high likelihood that it is AI. The flowers don't move once in the entire 2-minute video. The ring kept appearing and disappearing in the footage. The eyes kept popping in and out. She blinks a lot. This is not about whether or not the princess deserves privacy. Of course she does. This is about why the palace and the media keep lying so badly about it and whether or not we are free to ask for the truth. George Galloway is being blasted, friend of the show George Galloway, now a member of Parliament. He's being blasted, and even fellow MPs are even asking, calling him disgraceful. George Galloway blasted by members of Parliament for spreading conspiracy theories about Kate. He's an elected official who wants the truth, and they're saying that he should be deplatformed for this. If this is indeed more lying, it would serve the public that the public should show real concern for her and her children, not less. Like, oh, who's that? We don't care. If she was a victim of some sinister palace plot, we'd like to know about it. We should care about it. And if the next thing we learn from the palace is that she took a turn for the worst, well, we'll soon know that we were right about it, sadly. But I think it's important for us to hear from the media and not them lying to us about it. Didn't the BBC, by the way, hire a whole like fact-checking misinformation, disinformation department to make sure that we're protected against kind of lies? We now know a correspondent, a reporter reached out to the BBC, filed a Freedom of Information Act request today, and specifically wanted to know if there's any AI being used in their footage, any deep fake voice manipulation, and a whole laundry list of things from this photo shoot. And the BBC responded because of this Freedom of Information Act request and said it will take up to 20 days for us to get a response to you. 20 days for us to know what's actually going on here with this film footage? I mean, what do you guys think? Let us know in the comments. Do you think this is fake AI or do you think it's real?
And I see so many people in the comments saying, I don't care about this story. Shameful of Redacted to cover this. But here's why it's important. Because if you can point out and find something that they're willing to manipulate and manipulate you to make you think it's real, then that will open up your mind to know when they're doing it for other things that may be more important to you. So right. That, like, you're pointing out the fact that they are trying to hide something that is basically not really that big of a deal, which will make you wonder, what are they trying to hide that is a bigger deal? That's why it's important.
I think it's a big deal when you have a figurehead of a country, right? A figurehead of a country, of the royal family, that is, and the state-run media is potentially lying about it and covering up. That's a big deal. And you have a member of Parliament, George Galloway, calling for the truth. That's news to me. That's news in my eyes.
Well, yeah, and I think that there's something very telling in the George Galloway thing, in what you said, like they're trying to get him deplatformed. If somebody's like got a bonkers like theory about something, like I know of like a YouTuber that like believes that like sharks aren't real, thinks that they're just a government ploy, you know, stuff like that. Nobody's calling to deplatform that person because we all look at that and they're like, yeah, that's completely bonkers. But when they come out and they're like, we need to deplatform this person, it's not because what they're saying is completely false. It's because there's truth in it and they want him to shut them up. They don't deplatform people that are just like, you know, batshit crazy. This is not what they do.
Right. We just let that person be crazy. But here, the point is they've lied to us already. Like that happened. They've lied to us. And so did the palace lying about this cancer. So what else are they lying about here? And what is the state-run media doing covering this up? When you look at their involvement in Ukraine and the amount of, I mean, literally you had Ukrainians training in the UK. Right. You have UK soldiers right now inside of Ukraine. Like, what else are they covering up and hiding from us? This is important. Go ahead, David.
Well, and I think that's the main point is like, this is a story that is going to, like, this connects many, many people that don't care about politics. They know nothing about politics. So if you can have something like this that a vast majority of people care about because they love the royal family, and they're like, wait, they're lying to us, then it makes them look on the political side and opens up their mind to the potential that they're lying about other things. So that's why I think this is an important story to cover.
Yeah, I mean, you could even take it a step further and look at what happened with the bloodbath comments last week and how the media lied to all of us, right? About the mainstream media pushed this narrative that Donald Trump was calling for a bloodbath, and he wasn't. They purposefully took it out of context. And Joe Rogan just did an entire piece, really interesting piece, on how even if the truth does come out, the lie has now like saturated our brains first. And that's why lies and propaganda are so powerful, because they saturate our brains first. And no matter, even if the truth does come out later, the damage has already been done with the lie. So the bloodbath lie that Trump said, that damage has already been planted and done. You have the mainstream media telling the story that Trump's called for a bloodbath, and you have casual people who don't follow news very much or don't know what they're talking about. They're like, I heard Trump called for a bloodbath. It's another reason maybe I'm not going to vote for the guy. It's a lie. And so this stuff is powerful. And yeah, it doesn't just stop at Kate Middleton. It has nothing to do really with that. It really is about the lies and the media cover-up and what these governments are doing. So I don't know. I'm curious to see what this Freedom of Information Act request will say once we get it back from the BBC and the truth on that will come out. But I don't think they can cover up this for very much longer. So let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. I really appreciate it. Over like a million of you watched our coverage of this. So people say they're not interested. You definitely. I'm just as fascinated by it. I mean, I was going through these videos all weekend, too. I'm fascinated by it. You know, I mean.
Hey, there's a reason The Crown was one of the most popular shows in a long time. So
yeah,
people do care more than they're willing to say.
Well, sometimes we need a crazy government, weird espionage story to take our minds off of the horrors of the day sometimes. Anyway, there's a lot of news happening in the world. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to be covering the southern border and how we are entering phase two of Biden's invasion of the United States. Phase two is starting, and we're going to tell you what that is tomorrow on the show. It's unbelievable, really, really disturbing. And this is exactly the way that Mayorkas and Biden have been planning it to happen. This is an extension of the Obama administration's plans with the invasion of the United States. So we're going to cover that on the show tomorrow and so much more. Hey, we should tell people about our Plus Club, shall we not? I guess we have our Plus Club. And if you'd like to go to redacted.inc and join our Plus Club, you can. And, this show is totally free. But if you'd like to become a Redacted member, you get access to interviews and exclusive content before anyone else gets to see them. We released special interviews on this weekend that no one else got to see, but our members got to see it because you're a member. And David, what is the price for it? It's like really cheap, right? You can choose how much you want to join for, right?
Yeah, it's $5. And then if you want to give more, you can give more, or you can do annual. You can do a one time. Doesn't matter. Like, you've got every option available to you as long as it's $5 or more.
So we are independent media, and we thank you for your support of independent media. Again, our show is totally free, but we give you bonuses and exclusive content. We've got a great members community, and again, interviews and videos that you won't see anywhere else for joining our Redacted Plus Club. And it's just a way for us to connect as a community and to support us, because we do not take money from Pfizer and Boeing and the Pentagon or the CIA or anybody else. We are supported by you guys and the few sponsors that we have here on the show. So we really appreciate it. So thank you guys so much for joining us on this. Man, these glasses are so big. I kind of look like you know what I tried to get? I got these progressive lenses. You know what these are? Where they've got like the three, like the top is like distance. The middle is like, I don't know, medium or whatever. And then the bottom is, I don't know. They're like bifocal, trifocal style. And they could give me such a headache and I can't really wear them. I keep trying. They're like, you need to wear them for like 3 weeks to like get used to them. But I'm like, I'm miserable all the time wearing these stupid things. So I just been going back to the reading glasses.
You need to get some white ones like mine, like big rimmed ones like this.
I don't know.
I've got tiny little wireframe readers that I wear all the time when I'm in front of the computer or stuff like that, around the house, and they're just all bent to hell, and I just bend them back into similar shape. I'll sometimes wear them out like in public, and it just, it looks like I got hit by a truck and it took most of it to the face. But you know what?
You've got tape in the middle, like tape hanging down, like one lens hanging off the side. I mean, these look like good lenses, but they're the progressive ones where, you know, if I'm walking around, like I'll walk into a wall because I'm not, my brain's not used to them. I don't know. I got the LASIK like 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And they say, you know, after that amount of time, you got to like maybe get the touch up or whatever. But now I'm 47 years old and I'm not old enough to get like some, I don't know. I'm in a weird spot right now. I'm not old enough to get the surgery again. The cataract surgery thing, even though I don't have cataracts, whatever they call it, where they build them into your eye. I don't know. I just hate these things. I hate them. And I hate contacts too. They scratch your eyelid, your eyeballs. Anyway, if anyone has any tips on how to get over this progressive lens issue, let me know because I can't stand these damn things. All right, everyone. Have a great night. Thank you guys for watching Redacted. We'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. It'll just be the boys again tomorrow, and then Natalie will be back on Wednesday. So have a great night, everyone. And please share the show with your friends. That's how we can grow here on Redacted. So have a great night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.